Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I want to welcome everybody to the Unimpressed Podcast. I have comedian Red Squirrel on the Unimpressed Podcast, and I'm unimpressed that we haven't had her on the show yet. So what's going on, Squirrel?
I know. I'm up here in Charleston, South Carolina, just having fun.
How many layers did you put on this morning?
Kiss my buttocks.
Oh, what?
Can I cuss today?
You can say whatever you want to do.
You know, you always are asking me, what layer are you on? You know, you put a couple of layers on, and then you have to freshen up. You know, apply more lipstick. So probably about, you know, four layers.
Four layers?
I always say one layer, two layer, three layer, four. Now I'm ready to walk out the door.
So, I hear you.
You know, my dermatologist has told me to cut, you know, I don't need all of that makeup, but it's almost like a defense mechanism. It's like a safety kind of deal, I guess.
Yeah,
like putting lots of makeup.
Why is that? What are you afraid of?
I don't know.
Did you have some childhood trauma? I mean, what happened?
I'm a picker. I pick at my face. You know,
yeah.
It's like if there's something, little something there, I will dig and dig and dig and dig until, you know, I've got a big old hole. And I love Dr. Pimple Popper. Oh my gosh, I love mm-hmm. watching that. And so I'm a picker. So I've got, you know, like some little, don't look at me, I'm hideous. But I have these like scars and stuff. Look, you're like, you're looking now.
I'm trying to find
anyway,
them.
And
trying to
you
find
can't
them.
Find them because I got,
find them.
I got
you
the
80,
layers.
You
I know.
Got 85 layers.
I know.
On.
So I think that makes me feel better trying to cover up. Yeah.
Trying to cover up.
Yeah, where I've peaked.
The long line of females on your mother's side of the family. Where did you get this from? I mean, did you have any traits of your past relatives? I know you talked about your mother a little bit.
No, my mother was not a picker. She was not. She did not let sun get to her face. Sunscreen. You know, when she died at 79 years old, she did not have wrinkles. She was absolutely beautiful. Now, my grandmother, her mama, Willie Hugh. Now, that's some country.
That's some southern names right there. Willie Hugh. Hey,
yeah.
Willie Hugh.
There were three sisters. There were three sisters, and it was Willie Hugh, Neva Lou, and Tula Bell.
Now, who named these kids?
My great-great-grandmother. I mean, country names are strange.
Now, this was in Alabama?
This was in Sand Mountain in Albertville. You know, and it was so funny, John, because the other night there was a guy that posted under one of my videos, and he said her accent is so fake. And I was like, yeah, come to Sand Mountain to Albertville and listen to the way people talk. This ain't fake at all.
I mean, think about that. Where does that little sound come from? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Have you heard other females that sound like exactly like you?
Yes.
In your area?
If you're from Albertville, you don't say Albertville, you say Artville.
Artville.
Artville. Where are you from? Artville. Anybody that says Albertville is not from there. Because if you're from there, it's Artville. I mean, country, just so.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know.
Interesting.
I mean, Jody's from the mountain. She's from Sand Mountain.
But she don't sound like, she don't have as much.
You don't think so?
No. Jody don't have that squeaky
sound.
Oh, well,
now that squeaky sound is just, I don't know what. I don't know what that is.
you know, being a comedian, right?
Right.
Comedians draw their comedy a lot of times from the darkest places.
Right.
Where do you think you draw your comedy from? Because I know your mother was somewhat of a character, right?
She was a character. My dad was a character. I don't know. I've just always tried to, you know, make people laugh. And but I come from a funny family. Mm-hmm. Like if we have get-togethers and stuff, or if when we you know had get-togethers with mother and daddy, and I mean we would just laugh. I mean, like it's almost like we all have that comedy gene, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my older brother John is hilarious. I mean, we'll put you on the floor laughing. You know, so I mean, we just kind of grew up with a lot of laughter. And
now that's the same John I met in Cherokee.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He didn't seem like that funny of a guy when I met him at the show.
Well, I think he was trying to probably be, you know, he was trying to be good. You got to get him in his element.
Talking about your mother being a character,
mm-hmm.
and some of the stories she would say to you about her and your father.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you draw some of those stories from her? I mean, you can talk about, you know, what some of the stories your mother used to say.
Once she got MS, okay, mm-hmm. I think illness kind of changes you. She didn't cuss that much. But once that MS and she started getting sicker, ooh, she would cuss. But I remember one day she was going into the doctor's office, you know, and it was like, well, Wanda, you know, what you here for? And she was like, you know, I'm here to have my pussy checked.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, well, okay. She was like, well, I guess you won't ask again. And when mother and daddy were building their house, they lived in a trailer. We never lived in trailers. And she said, Johnna, there's just something about that trailer. Makes your daddy want to, you know.
Yeah.
And use that, you know. And I was like, mother, you know, stop. You know, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Makes your daddy just want to fuck. You know, and I was like, oh, my. You know, she was just funny, even like without, you know, like trying to be funny. She was just, she was quite a lively character. Definitely.
Well, you've done that character a few times.
Yeah.
With Darren and stuff. Well, you know, that's
Wanda.
Why did we forget about that character? We should do Wanda.
I don't know.
Maybe Wanda wears that dress today. Is Wanda, that's the accent for the dress today.
It is. Wanda, I mean, she's just, you know.
You know what I'm saying?
And here's one for you. When JT was about 12 years old, she handed him, you know, they didn't do computer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were old school, didn't do computers. And so she handed JT, 12 years old, a bunch of paperwork about gonorrhea and syphilis and everything. She's like, now, JT, better not be having sex because, you know, you stick that in, you know, you're going to get this right here, this gonorrhea, syphilitis, you know, herpes. Yeah. You know, and showing JT pictures of, you know, a penis with, you know, like stuff all over. And he was like,
how old was JT?
You know, 12. You know, it scarred 12. Him for life. You know?
Really?
But my mother was like, JT.
So JT turned out all right.
Yeah, he did turn out right. Not all right. But oh my goodness.
What did he say anything to you about that?
He's still scarred. He's still worried about where he's going to stick his penis.
He is.
He's going to get a herniated lapis hydrosacrimonious, syphilitis. I don't know.
Stemming, you know, that character of your mother, right? Where do you pull your jokes from?
I mean,
what makes you think? Because a lot of your, you know, when I have a conversation with you, it usually ends up in a sex conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, because
it's
funny. And
if you're listening, it's not it's just kind of a general anatomy thing.
Well, I mean, somebody can say a line and it's like, you know, somebody can, you know, say, what was it yesterday? Somebody said something about long and hot or something. Oh, talking about the pier.
Yeah.
You know, well, that would be that'd be long and hot, you know, and it was like, hey, you know, sex. So my mind just instantly goes there. I don't know why. Phil will be like, Johnny, I mean, do you ever, you know, can you ever not, you know, make a joke about sex? And I'm like, no, I can't.
Yeah. That's kind of like Jody's boyfriend. He says, where's Big Long? I mean, Big Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like we just, I don't know. It's just my personality. I don't.
When you're thinking about putting these jokes together, how do you, in your head, structure these types of jokes? I don't know if I've heard, you know, your style. per se on stage with anybody else, or, you know, content wise? I mean, it's a little different. It's
different.
Funny.
It's different.
It's funny, relatable to women.
Yeah.
You know, the women love you.
You know, I was doing poetry for a little while and you know, songs and different things. I love to do that. I don't know. I guess my elementary education, you know, like teaching, I like to relate things that people can remember. I think that goes back to that teaching, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, so somebody can remember something, you know, and I like to think when I'm writing that somebody can go home and go, oh my gosh, baby, you know, your FUPA's, you know, showing, or, you know, like, baby, let me grab a hold of that thing, you know, and they'll think of me, you know, and like what I said on stage, like, you know, things that are relatable. Cause I know that when I've seen other comics, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and then if you can bring it up a couple of days later, I mean, they've made a hit, you know, I mean, they've made a, you know, kind of a, you know, difference in my life. Cause it was like really funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're using it at home, walking around or, you know, joking around. I mean, Phil and I went to see Frank Caliendo years ago.
Yeah.
And we still use his lines, you know, around the house, you know, look, Batman, it's a, you know, letter from the Riddler. You know, we still use that line from Frank Caliendo. And Lord, we went to see him about 20 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
is Caliendo, is he still alive?
Yes.
He is. Does he even do stand up anymore?
He does do a little bit of stand up. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And he is, you know, because he does all those voices. And Phil likes to do voices. And so he can do, you know, Frank Caliendo. But to me, that helps you remember the comic. And it's just something funny, kind of made a little difference in our lives. You know, a little funny, little line to remember.
Before we connected, right, before you came on tour.
Right.
I think it was obviously me, Gary, Darren, and then
Rocky.
Rocky, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you came on board. Before you got involved with us, tell us a little bit about how long you've been doing comedy and what that was like.
I've been doing comedy for about 5 years.
Before you hooked up with us?
Yes, yes.
And that was, when did you hook up with us? Is this 2017 or 16?
16.
Okay.
So we've been 5 years. So yeah, I was doing comedy, but I was, you know, teaching. And so I would have to like do the weekend or nights. You know, the Stardome, Bruce Ayers used me a lot to host.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I could just drive down there an hour away and host, you know, a couple of shows and head back and, you know, teach the next day. It was funny, you know, trying to get out of that, you know, hosting, you know, the next morning. Come on in, everybody sit down. About to start the show.
Were you in your 40s when you started comedy?
Mm-hmm.
You're in your 40s. What made you pull the plug to do comedy?
Full time?
No, just pull the plug in general. Like, I want to do this. What was your thought?
The teachers talked me into it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was like, you know, because like I said, I mean, I'm, you know, always acting crazy and, you know, goofy. And they were like, hey, you know, why don't you do open mic at the Stardome?
Mm-hmm.
And so I did it. I had 5 minutes. It was supposed to be clean.
Yeah.
So I did my set about hygiene.
And what's the hygiene set? What's that?
It's not clean.
It's not clean.
It's a clean subject, but it's not clean.
I don't hear Tatiana.
No.
Did you do Tatiana anymore?
I don't do that anymore.
Why not?
I know. I don't have time.
What do you mean you don't have time?
John, you got to get me out there for like an hour. I can do Tatiana.
The tapping and the spoon?
Yeah. Stirring and tucking. Don't do that anymore.
So maybe you have enough material now.
Absolutely.
Because 2018, you got to admit, I don't think you had enough material to headline when we put you out there.
I did Garrett. You know, I talked about Garrett on stage.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a touchy subject. People don't know whether to laugh or, you know, it's like that being politically correct and talking about your special needs son.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, do we laugh? What do we, you know, what do we do? So I did talk about Garrett, and that's kind of, like I said, you know.
That was a big piece that you had to find something to fill.
Yes. And raising a special needs child or taking care of somebody that's disabled or, you know, a caretaker, you have to find laughter in it.
Yeah.
You know, and so and that's what I told the audience, but still it's that touchy, you know.
That's the world we live in.
You know.
They don't want to call it what it is.
I know, and if I can laugh about, you know, Garrett, then.
Yeah,
y'all laugh on. I mean, we're not laughing at him.
Yeah.
We're not making fun of him. You're laughing at the situation and the funniness, you know, that funny things that Garrett does, you know.
Yeah. You can make fun of yourself.
Yeah.
You can make fun of your world within your life, I think. Mm-hmm. I think when you step over that boundary and start making fun of other people, I think that's when there's some blurred lines, kind of.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what I think, that people thought that maybe I was making fun of my child. Mm-hmm. And I'm like going, no, you know, absolutely not. And I'm not making fun of, you know, special needs.
Maybe that was an escape for you, too, to release.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because, I mean, you know, that definitely stress reliever. And until you're on stage, I mean, I know, John, I know that you've kind of introduced us and you've gotten up there and done some announcements.
You remember when I did the house announcements?
Yeah. You were like so dry. I mean, I know you've done that kind of stuff. I don't know if you felt the high from the audience.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But you know, when you're up there and you are making other people laugh.
Yeah.
That is a high you can't explain. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is truly like a drug. And that's why, you know, I tell the audience, you know, sometimes they're our therapy.
Yeah.
You know, that laughter, you know, because I was on stage in Talladega, you know, at the AIDB, the AIBA. Little fundraiser. Yeah.
Or not AIBA, the deaf school.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I was there the night before my daddy died. I was performing. Yeah. You know, he was on hospice, and we knew that the time, you know, it could have been at any time. And I was like, I don't feel like I need to go. And Phil was like, you're going to go. For one thing, you know, your daddy would want you to be there, you know, and make people laugh. And, you know, it's like, so the night before daddy died, I'm performing on stage. And that was therapy for me, you know, because what a stressful time that was. And it was like, I got to forget about my worries, you know, for a little while. You just can't describe it. You know? Yeah. So once I was on stage that first time at the Stardome with the open mic competition, and I heard that laughter, I was like, yeah.
I got you hooked.
Yep. This is it.
So you had 5 years prior to getting involved with us, and now you've had 5 years. When would mark your 10th year in comedy when you first started?
This is it. March was 10 years. Yeah.
This past March was 10 years. What was the difference between the first 5 years and now the 5 years with us? What's been the difference?
John. First 5 years, you know, you had to hustle and you had to do your, I mean, I had to do my own, you know, networking and everything, you know, to get, you know, Bruce helped me some. I mean, you had to get out there and hustle for places to perform. I only did the Southeast region, you know, because I didn't want to drive, you know, too far. Didn't have the money to fly, you know. I remember going to the Gump, Montgomery, driving down there, 2 hours, performing for like 12 people. Was leaving after the show was over, and the guy's like, sorry, we didn't make enough money for, you know, me to pay you.
Yeah.
And it was like, all righty then, yeah, thanks. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Well, to his defense, if there was 12 people there, he probably didn't.
He probably didn't, no, no. But, you know, here's $50 for gas. You know, I mean, something. Used to, you know, get paid just with food and drink at some of the clubs and stuff. So that was my first 5 years.
Yeah.
Then, oh my goodness, then here comes along Bang, you know, and Darren was just like, you know, oh my gosh, it just, you know, blown up. I mean, here we are, we're in limousines, you know, flying casinos here. We're getting presents here, you know, and this and that, and eating at the finest, you know, places and this. And it's like, you know, not doing the drive through at Burger King, you know. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. It was just a whirlwind of, whoo.
Yeah.
Of,
well, that's what I'm saying. If anybody's out there listening, I make things look very pretty. Okay.
Yes.
I make things look very pretty. And I think we've spoiled Darren a little bit.
Oh my goodness.
He don't know. He doesn't know
that hustle of driving somewhere 2 hours and, you know, sorry, we can't pay you. You know, that kind of thing. But you know, it's just that comedy hustle of, like I said, lining up your own, didn't have to line up shows anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, my goodness. I mean, when came aboard, it was like, okay, here's our schedule. Doom, 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 doom. You know,
yeah.
I've traveled to places that I never would have gone to, you know.
We've done, I think it was maybe 400 shows, 450 shows or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, a lot of shows. I mean,
So my goodness, yeah. The blessings. I mean, if it ended today, I check that off my bucket list, the big old bucket list, and say, yeah. Hey, this has been great. This has been great.
Well, absolutely. I think we're still going strong.
I think we are too.
Learning. I think, so, you know, every day's a new day.
Don't let me go today, John. Huh? I'm wanting to continue.
Yeah, we want to keep it going. You know, I think it's absolutely. Just, I think too, there's been a little bit of transition, you know, and trying to figure out landscape. And, you know, you look at an act like you, and you're very, very funny on stage. And then you have the transitioning of, all right, how do we, you know, how do we build numbers? Like if you want a headline mm-hmm. and, you know, sell tickets.
Right.
You know, because, you know, the people who go on, you know, to your defense in a way, even the people who go on the Tonight Show, mm-hmm. right? You know, I know people have been there 3 or 4 times. They can't sell 50 That's tickets.
Right. That's true.
You know, so I think there's a little bit of a landscaping figuring out, all right, if someone build a presence on social media that can translate to stage, mm-hmm. right? That's a perfect world, but a lot of people can't mm-hmm. translate to stage. Fortunately, Darren could translate to stage. Mm-hmm. So then you take an act like you, who's very, very funny, right? And probably, you know, 15 years ago, you'd probably been on the Tonight Show, right? And been gone. You know, so now it's like, all right, how do you take this funny and build this over here mm-hmm. and, you know, recognize that in the modern day, day climate of the right. comedy world.
Red score's not for everybody. I've had to kind of get a little tough skin with comments and things like that. But now, John, I mean, the times are changing. I mean, it's so hard with comedy now and not offending somebody some way, you know, somebody getting, you know, their feelings hurt, this and that, you know, canceled. I mean, it's just crazy. It's yeah. craziness. Even going on shows and things. It's like, well, what are you going to talk about? You know, yeah. you can't talk about this. You mm-hmm. know, you can't talk about that. I mean, could you imagine Richard Pryor, George yeah. Carlin? I mean, your big name, there's no way.
Yeah. I don't think it's Hollywood's fault. I just think the corporations who fund Hollywood have kind of pigeonholed their business. I think creating a climate like we have, mm-hmm. where we have our own universe, mm-hmm. and the outside world doesn't really affect us the same way because we have our own situation. So right. in defense of Hollywood, I mean, I think, you know, if you got these people, these corporations writing these big checks, right? And, you know, these executives have to abide by that. What do you do? How many more things are the corporations going to take out of entertainment where it's not entertainment anymore?
That's a good question. That's the $1 million question right there.
You know what I mean? That's what it is. That's what it is. The corporations are taking, you know, directions. What do they call it? PC?
You know, I feel like that we have something different with our show. I mean, we're not the cookie cutter, you know, show. I mean, you know, it's like it's, you know, you got Gary, you got me, you got Darren. We're all different, but yet we're all like, you know, connected with, you know, I mean, we're not that different. I mean, is it going to become where entertainment is cookie cutter and dull and boring?
I think there's going to be a resurgence of how entertainment started within a different media space, right? And I think that's what we're doing. You know, I think there's somewhat of a resurgence of how Hollywood used to be and our media space.
Like,
when I say our media space, is like having your own universe, having your own fans, servicing your own fans, you know, because it's a choice.
Right.
And we can put that choice out to those people. Right?
Well, I think it's almost like, when is that rebellious spirit going to come back? Like, you know, the screw you, you know, I mean, when's that pendulum going to go back to, you know?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if it'll be in mainstream. I don't know if it ever, I mean, maybe, maybe not. I mean, like I said, mainstream is having a tough time doing anything right now. I mean, it's just like when I talked to Hef the other day about, you know, they had Rob Schneider, mm-hmm. right, at the club mm-hmm. in Charlotte at the Comedy Zone. And he made a tweet about a mask or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was a firestorm for Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Rob Schneider's pretty,
yeah,
a pretty clean, kind of respected comedian.
An actor.
An actor in entertainment today.
Absolutely. Everybody knows him.
Yeah, and nobody's, he wasn't protected. I don't think anybody's protected.
So when it's, I've got running through my mind that song, we're not gonna take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we ain't gonna
maybe
take
Mariana's
it.
Maybe Mariana's generation, maybe Mariana and JT's, Because Mariana has a very strong viewpoint, I think.
JT does too.
About how some kids are in the schools and, mm-hmm. that she don't really agree with.
Well, JT made a comment several years ago and he said, the minority is the majority now. It's almost like the way that the majority of people feel is being subdued and the minority is what's being heard. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's really strange. It's scary. It's scary times.
It is scary times.
That who was it? Somebody was it Carrie Underwood? She actually just liked a post.
Mm-hmm.
And people were all over her about it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
At what point can we be different and it be okay? I mean, we can think that's what makes the world go round. I think that's a wonderful thing that...
Well, I think, I think too is more as this world of the social world continues to expand and get bigger and so forth. What is your goals the next 5 years? How much longer do you want to do comedy?
Oh my goodness. I want to be in my 70s and 80s, strolling my little walker and oxygen tank out on the stage and dropping it like it's hot. Just throwing my boobs up over my walker and, heading on out. I want my Corvette and,
Yeah. So Jeff Allen, he's had a pretty good career, right? He's been around a long time. I don't know. That's who popped in my mind. He's in the same camp as James Gregory.
Yes.
And James Gregory's been around a long time.
Oh, my
too.
Goodness. Yes.
Yeah.
Sells out shows all over. He's definitely a favorite. I want to keep on doing it as long as I can, because to me, you're only as old as you as your mindset, and I still feel like I'm in my 20s. Now, yesterday when I tried to do that cartwheel, it didn't work out real good, but hey.
So, talking about your family,
mm-hmm.
two sons,
yes,
right, and you talked about Garrett a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
JT, we know JT mm-hmm. raising Garrett. What was mm-hmm. that like? And what was it like when you first found out about his issues?
Right.
Did you know immediately when he was born he was going to have issues or?
Well, with my pregnancy with Garrett, I started going into labor at 20 weeks.
Okay.
Okay. And so they put me on medication. I didn't do bed rest, but they brought a recliner into my classroom.
Gotcha.
And so I had a recliner in my classroom and I still taught. And I continued to have issues, throughout my pregnancy. And I went up having him 2 months early. And so when he was born, they talked about swelling at the base of his neck and that could be mental retardation and different things. And but with him being a preemie, you contributed all of his delays to being premature, he's just delayed. And then at a year old, they did an MRI and he was diagnosed with cerebral palsy because they could see the brain damage. And, oh my gosh, I thought my life was over. You have this certain dream of, he's going to be a little baseball player, a little football player, this and that. You have your little dreams and all that. And it's like, wow, this is a different road mm-hmm. that we're going to be going down. So then, you start, carrying him to therapy and up until three, I carried him to therapy. And then at three, we had the early intervention program at our school. Mm-hmm. So I started, I got to bring him to my school. It's kind of bittersweet, I guess,
Now that was a different, Phil's not Garrett's father?
No, okay. No.
Do you think that put strain on that relationship?
Who, Phil and I?
No, put strain on that. You're like the father, Garrett's
yes.
father, you and Garrett.
Yes. Well, Todd, my first husband, was coach and, coached football, baseball, basketball, everything, and he was going a lot. And I almost feel like that that was his way of coping was being gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't need somebody going. I needed somebody there for me, mm-hmm. you know, like as my emotional, you know, stability.
Yeah. So then Phil comes on the scene.
Phil comes swooping in.
He comes swooping
in.
And how did, you know, you got to respect Phil for taking on that responsibility of Garrett, right?
Absolutely.
That's a big deal. Yeah.
Because, you know, you're talking about a lifelong commitment to feeding, you know, brushing teeth, wiping his butt, changing diapers, you know, doing everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, because Garrett is not independent at all. You know, he'll have to have full-time care for the rest of his life. And, yeah, that's a major thing for a man to step up and, you know, take on that responsibility.
And then you and Phil have JT.
Yes.
All right. And then tell us a little bit about JT.
Yeah, JT's 19, and he has joined the Army. Mm-hmm. And he's leaving October the 3rd for Fort Jackson right here in South Carolina. And, he'll be going 8 months.
In a music mm-hmm. program mm-hmm. with the Marines?
No.
Music program. No. What is it? Army or what is that?
I don't know if he'll do that or not. He's kind of gotten out of music a little bit.
Oh, he has?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So he's just a soldier now.
Yes, he's going to be airborne.
Airborne.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to fly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he didn't want to fly. He wants to jump out of planes.
He wants to jump out of planes. Oh my gosh.
I know.
And what is the purpose of him jumping out of planes?
I guess going to where the bad people are, or whatever, helping. I don't know.
And does he want to be a career military?
Yes,
guy?
He does.
He does.
He does. And it's so funny because Phil was, you know, Marine at 17
mm-hmm.
and then law enforcement. Growing up, he always told JT, no military, no law enforcement.
Yeah.
Don't do military, don't do law enforcement. Yeah.
And now he's doing what?
And now he's doing military. So, but you know, he was accepted to the University of Alabama because we were always been college, you know, because we're both college graduates and it was college, you know, schooling's important. JT was like, I don't want to go to school. You know, I don't want to go to, he's like, all I would do would go down there and party.
Mm-hmm.
So he saved us a lot of money.
And so talking a little bit about Phil, you said Marine. How long was Phil a cop? And he was a sergeant?
26 years. He was assistant chief of police in Southside. Yeah.
Oh, assistant chief of police in Southside. Yeah. You know, remember when Phil pulled me over?
Yes.
Going through town. I saw this guy racing up behind me. I was like, who the hell is that?
Yeah. You were in your rental car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He followed me.
Thought that was the funniest thing. He was like, John's going to be, because you timed it from Darren's house.
Yeah.
He was like, he should be headed through Southside about, right? Yeah. Pulled you over. Yeah.
That was funny. Yeah. So now Phil is a lawyer.
He's a lawyer.
Now, and now he's starting his own practice.
Own practice, yes. Philip J. Robertson.
Philip J. Robertson Law Firm?
Yes. Okay. Attorney at law, yes.
Attorney at law.
Yes.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. It is cool. It's exciting. Getting his pilot's license.
Yeah, he was talking to me about that.
Yeah, we're just flies to different places.
That'd be cool.
I know.
Just make sure how old of a plane he's going to get.
Well, you know, the newer ones are a little more expensive.
Yeah.
You know, you can get a 1960 something, you know, and it's like pretty cheap.
Yeah.
You know, the newer ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When's that supposed to, when does he get his pilot license?
I don't know. He's got to have 40 hours of flight, you know, training, and then he's got to have his schooling, and then, you know, he's got this cancer.
He's got this cancer thing that he's dealing with. Phil, you got to get rid of the cancer thing.
I got to get rid of the cancer thing, you know, the weakened heart from the chemo, you know.
Yeah.
He's got a few little things going on, but. Yeah.
Does he stop doing the chemo?
Yes, because of, you know, his weakened heart muscle, yeah.
And how's that going?
It's getting better. That chemo's some bad.
Is he eating right?
Bad shit. Yes, he. I told you he's like cut out carbonated drinks, and we've quit going out to eat, and so I'm trying to, you know, cook.
Do you cook, squirrel? I cook.
Now I cook the Southern way. You know, I'm going to add a glob of butter to those green beans. You know,
you cook every night.
Yeah.
Really.
And let me tell you. We bought an air fryer. Fabulous. Best invention ever.
If you want to follow Red Squirrel, we got what? Facebook, Comedian Red Squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
We got Instagram, Comedian Red Squirrel. Red,
yeah.
Is it Comedian Red Squirrel?
Yes.
So check those out. Those are probably our two biggest platforms.
Yeah.
Right.
And I have just started the TikTok.
TikTok. Yeah. We got to start tagging you.
Yeah, I think I have like, of my own personal ones, I think I have like six little videos up. I like to do videos of my little doggies. And yeah, but I love
it. And I was going to tell you too, you should, all the stuff you put on your personal page, you should treat that, do the same thing on your fan page, or like just make your fan page your personal page. Do like all your personal shit. You should just post everything on your fan page, your life, because you like to post. Why not?
I know. Do they want to know all about my?
Yeah. I think the more relatable that they can be, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. I've really, really enjoyed talking, you know, because a lot of people don't know about Garrett. And so I've really enjoyed, you know, getting messages and stuff from other parents, you know, about, you know, their experience with raising a special needs child. It was funny because on Instagram, a lady sent me a message, told me about LifeVac, you know, after Garrett's choking spell. I wound up ordering two of them, one, you know, for Garrett's house and one for, you know, our house when he comes home to visit. But it's actually, it keeps you from like choking. It's like a, like an apparatus you put over your mouth and you push it down and no air goes down into your, you know, esophagus. But when you pull up, everything sucks. Like everything sucks out.
Interesting.
And so she sent that to me on Instagram and she was like, I just thought of you, you know, with Garrett's story. I wanted you to know about this. I ordered it immediately and I, you know, thanked her. So it's, you know, it's kind of neat, you know, that people have watched the, you know, Darren and I's podcast and, and if, you know,
we'll have to make this a segment. Well, the whole deal will be out there too. So that's good. Yeah. And that stemmed from you being on Darren's podcast.
Yes. Yes. I'm talking about, you know, the choking episode. So, so I have to do that.
Well, what do you think, you would ever write a book or anything like that?
I would love to write a book. I would love to do a children's book.
What would the children's book be?
I was thinking about Snowball, the albino guinea pig.
Do what?
Snowball, the albino guinea pig.
The albino guinea pig. Is it supposed to be funny?
Yeah, that's one of my titles.
Oh, okay.
But a little Snowball. I used to have a guinea pig when I taught third grade. I had a guinea pig named Woolly Booger.
Woolly Booger.
Woolly Booger.
I remember that name.
Yeah,
we had
him for 4 years in my classroom. I would have one of my students take him home for the summer and keep him and bring him back the next year. Yeah. Woolly Booger lived 4 years. And it was so funny because with Woolly Booger, we'd get him out after lunch and feed him like lettuce and stuff. And I would let him sit on one of my students' desks that had been real good for that day. And Woolly Booger would gnaw on their paper. So I always knew when I was grading papers who had Woolly Booger because he'd gnawed on their paper. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Well, if you want to see Red Squirrel on stage, she may be doing some shows by herself soon. We're going to, you know, build those numbers, sell some tickets.
Yeah.
We'll figure that out.
Share Red Squirrel's page.
We've got a bunch of shows coming up and follow her on Facebook, follow her on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is Comedian Red Squirrel. This has been your Unimpressed podcast. And I'm John Edmonds Cosma, the CEO of Bang Productions. Thanks for coming on, Squirrel. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Are you impressed now?
I'm impressed now.
Are you impressed?
I went from unimpressed to impressed.
Yay! Thank you. Thank you. Mwah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.